Joe Starkey from KDKA in Pittsburgh, also a fine columnist for the Tribune Review. Hey, Joe, how are you this morning?
Doing well, guys. Thank you.
Really enjoyed your story today in the paper. Why don't you tell us a little bit about who was the keynote speaker, the featured speaker at the ceremony back in 2007? The graduates and their families get a chance to sit down and listen to somebody speak. Can you share with us what you wrote today?
Sure can. It was the same guy who in 2002 had been alleged to have committed a heinous act at the football building right on campus, a few hundred yards away from where he was now delivering the commencement speech, and also the same guy who had been banned from bringing children onto campus in 2002 by the athletic director in a move that was ratified by the now-fired school president, Graham Spanier. It was Jerry Sandusky, and somebody called my radio show, an afternoon sports talk show here in Pittsburgh, the other day and said, "You wouldn't believe this, but my daughter and son graduated from Penn State in 2007, and Jerry Sandusky was the commencement speaker for their school. I believe it was the School of Human Development and Health, something like that, a school that produces nurses, counselors, social workers, working with the same types of kids that Jerry Sandusky had in his charity, The Second Mile." So just unbelievable that this guy was on campus delivering a commencement speech in 2007, 5 years after the president had ratified banning him from bringing children onto campus. And I found a woman right here in Pittsburgh who was at that ceremony that day and verified it and gave me the commencement program. And there it is. As unbelievable as anything you'll ever see, a photo of Jerry Sandusky and, you know, a recap of the commencement ceremony.
And your column recounts how he gave this inspirational message, how at age 55 he walked away from the great game of football to give back to kids. And, in fact, he was basically told to retire in 99.
Well, as the story goes, he was told that he would not be replacing Joe Paterno, and he chose to retire. At least that's how the story goes. Not that he was told to, but that he was told he wouldn't be Joe Paterno's replacement after having been on that staff for 30-some years, after having been one of the architects of Linebacker U. I mean, the guy was a legend in state college, and he, you know, it was always suspicious why a guy in his mid-50s who was as revered as him, who had the kind of reputation he did, would suddenly step down from coaching, never get another offer that anybody knew of. How could that happen? And I think we're finding out how that could happen.
And again, the question stands, how could it happen? I mean, how could this go on? And again, you talk about 5 years after the fact, apparently the first incident in like 1998, and you look at this. And here, finally, in 2011, the indictments are there, and it brings down everyone that you just mentioned, the team, the university president, the athletic director, Joe Paterno as head coach. How could this have gone on for as long as it's gone on?
Especially when he informed the Second Mile Foundation that he was under investigation in 98, 99.
And they told him to stay away.
Yes. The New York Times had a story on that today, the 98 investigation, in which Jerry Sandusky confessed to police investigators, university police investigators, that something inappropriate had occurred in a shower in the football building. And for some reason, they didn't feel like they had enough evidence to pursue a case there. And he was allowed to still be around. How could it happen? I guess in other institutions, we've seen the same thing where the institution itself and its reputation is considered to be more important than the welfare of children. That happens, and here what appears to have happened is an institutional cover-up in order not to let this thing blow up. It's unbelievable that they think that it would have gone away, and it never did. And luckily, the reason that this case broke is because a high school, Clinton Area High School in eastern Pennsylvania, when it was reported to school officials there that Jerry Sandusky had engaged in inappropriate behavior with a child at that school, those school officials did what they are mandated to do, did what they are legally and morally mandated to do, and that is call the police. So a high school did what the Penn State University did not, and that is call police officials. That happened in 2009, and that is what launched the grand jury investigation, which lasted 2 years and resulted in the explosive charges that you saw on Saturday and ultimately resulted in the demise of Joe Paterno after 61 years, if you include his assistant coaching time at Penn State. And I'm sure you guys were watching last night. I'm sure a lot of people out there were watching last night. It felt to me like the college football version of Watergate, you know, of watching Richard Nixon step down. It was just, even though we had called for it, a lot of columnists had called for it, it was still just breathtaking to watch Joe Paterno and the way it ended.
Joe Starkey joining us from KDKA in Pittsburgh, also the Tribune Review there. Joe, hold on 1 second. We got to get a quick scoreboard update. Want to talk to you about the legacy of Joe Paterno and how we think about him now and where the obituary goes, if you will. Thank you, Mark. We appreciate it. Let's get back to Joe Starkey from Pittsburgh, host on KDKA there, and, of course, the Tribune Review columnist as well. Joe, what do we think of – how do we remember Joe Paterno? Does this – I mean, it obviously casts a cloud, and you talk about the first sentence of his obituary explaining who he is and the second saying how he left the school.
Absolutely, if not in the first sentence. I mean, what we're looking at in this case, apparently – is in 2002, at the very earliest, and it's hard to believe, for me at least, that somebody who was as detailed within his program as Joe Paterno did not know that university police and the district attorney were investigating his top lieutenant, his defensive coordinator, in 1998. Hard for me to believe the head coach didn't know about that, as he claims, but what we do know is that at the earliest in 2002, Joe Paterno, it was relayed to him a heinous allegation that occurred in his football building, in the showers of his football building, and that Jerry Sandusky was subsequently banned from bringing children onto campus. That much we know, that much everybody agrees on, and yet Joe Paterno, when he was relayed that information about what happened in the football building, all he did was send it up the chain of command. Legally, so far, anyways, he's safe with that, but morally, certainly not, and Jerry Sandusky was permitted to hang around the Penn State football team for 9 more years. As recently as last week, was seen working out in the football building. Joe Paterno allowed that to happen because Joe Paterno is football at Penn State. Anybody who saw anything with Joe Paterno over the last 30 years knows that he was the boss at Penn State. In fact, the athletic director and school president went to his house in 2004 seeking his resignation, and he essentially told them to get off his porch, that literally that won't be happening. It seems that the chain of command, the only time I've ever seen it obeyed by Joe Paterno and considered sacred by Joe Paterno, is in an instance where an alleged child rape was reported to him. Otherwise, he was always the boss, always Penn State football. And if he wanted Jerry Sandusky to not be around his football team and to not be on campus in 2007 with a child after he'd been banned from doing so 5 years earlier, as the grand jury statement presents, he easily could have put an end to it, and he never did. So when you look at this case, bottom line, the impression that you get, the strong impression, is that the leaders at Penn State, most notably Joe Paterno, allowed an alleged child molester to still be roaming free.
And that's the thing, Joe. You know, I've never met a college football coach or covered one worth a damn that didn't have know everything that was going on within its program. And here, as you said, he reported it to the athletic director, who the grand jury found incredible. And to say that he took a couple of days to even make that call after McCreary reports it to him, and then he claims McCreary didn't specifically tell him what he saw. That's incredible, too, because obviously he was saying he saw a child being raped by Sandusky.
And people should go online and read the grand jury presentment,
yes,
really, because, it's sad and stunning and horrifying, but it also gives you a handle on how things worked, who stepped forward. What's unclear, though, and what you just mentioned, is the graduate assistant who viewed this act told in very graphic detail the grand jury what he saw. It doesn't seem like the detail was so graphic when Joe Paterno related to the athletic director. It seems even less graphic when the athletic director relays it to the president. So somehow things got watered down, and that's one of the reasons the athletic director and the school president are charged with perjury, because the grand jury feels that they did not accurately relay to them what they had heard about what happened in the football building in 2002. I wonder if Joe Paterno accurately relayed what he had heard. If you read that grand jury presentment, I think you'll have the same question.
Yes,
Joe, we'll let you go, and we appreciate your time and your perspective. We're going to link your story to our webpage and let people get to it, and we'll tweet it out. I'm just curious. Brian and I have more than 50 years of experience as reporters and sports writers and radio guys between us, and we agree we've never seen anything like this. We can't come up with any story that would remind you of this. Have you seen anything like this in your career?
Especially given that Joe Paterno was always beloved and beholden as the
above reproach.
Yeah.
The only thing I've seen that's comparable in terms of what is still going to be an even more sensational scandal is the O.J. case, as far as, oh, my God, that guy. I mean, everybody thought he was the nicest guy in the world. Now, I'm not comparing Joe Paterno or anybody there except Jerry Sandusky to O.J., but in terms of the scope, the sensational nature of it, and the shock of it, in terms of how big the scandal is, that's the only sports-related scandal that comes to mind is O.J.
Hey, Joe, thanks a ton. We really appreciate your time.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day.